The Hudson Opera House in Hudson, New York has completed the final phase of a major restoration project begun in April of 2016. The reopening of the historic theater is accompanied by a name change. The Hudson Opera House will be renamed Henry Hudson Hall. In honoring the city's historic namesake, Henry Hudson, the new name marks a significant evolution for the iconic venue, which, from its founding in 1855 until the building was abandoned in 1962, has witnessed some of the most exciting cultural, social, and political events of the day. Here to tell us more about the restoration and upcoming exciting events are Gary Shiro, Executive Director of the Hudson Opera House, and Megan Kent, Director of the Megan Kent Branding Group. It is very nice to have you both here. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having us. We're thrilled to be here.
All right. So what's happening? Does this all get underway next month?
It all gets underway next month. Our grand opening is April 22nd, which is the proprietor's ball, and that will be up in the restored hall. And from there, we launch into all of our programming with concerts and exhibitions and performances and readings and lectures and everything. It's very exciting.
So tell us what was done over the last year, since April of 2016. What has been happening to that performance space? The magic that has been happening over the last year has been what?
It's been extraordinary, actually, to watch the process. And it's, in fact, finished ahead of schedule, which is almost unheard of.
That's not supposed to happen,
right? Yes. And it's been extraordinary. The entire second floor was filled with scaffolding. The paint and the lead was abated, and plaster work was done, and the windows were taken away and fully restored and brought back. And simultaneously, a new elevator tower was constructed on the south end of the building, which will be providing access to the second floor performance hall for the first time in the history of the building. It's really exciting.
What does it allow you in terms of performance? Does it allow you to do things that you could not do before?
Very much so. You know, the building has been on this slow trajectory of opening space, and the building was abandoned for more than 30 years initially. And in the last 15 years, we've gotten most of the first floor open and have filled those spaces with our programs, but the capacity on the first floor was really limited to about 80. The second floor performance hall is a grand and soaring and beautiful space, New York State's oldest surviving theater, and we'll have the capacity there for more than 300 seats on the main floor, 53 seats up in the mezzanine, and we can finally do a higher caliber of programming in that space, dance and theater that were nearly impossible on the first floor, and just bringing acts from all over the world as we've done in the past, but we'll have the capacity to do that even more in this wonderful grand space.
All right, I want to talk about the name change. So do you want to take a crack at that before we go to Megan, or—
Well, the challenge for the organization has always been, you know, the organization's been known as many things, the building, rather, has been known as many things over the history of its life. It was built as the City Hall. Around 1880, a lot of these city halls and town halls in America at the height of the Gilded Age adopted the name Opera House. That name stuck around till about 1900 or so. There was a period then when the performance hall was managed by the Elks Lodge, so it was then called the Elks Theater. And shortly after that, it went back to being called City Hall. Both of those names were a little misleading for the public. Clearly, we're not City Hall. We're not the seat of government any longer. And although we do occasionally produce opera and operatic programs, we're not an opera house. We're really a multi-art center, a center for the arts. So the name has been a question that has always come up over the history of the project. And it seemed with the new performance hall coming online, it was time to really tackle it head on and to do it with some expert help. And that was when Megan Kent came to us from the Megan Kent Branding Group and helped us have this conversation.
So Megan, what do you look at for a change in name and why that's necessary and what you ultimately came up with?
Well, in this case, we spoke with a lot of constituents within Hudson and the surrounding region, and we saw that the advent of this new performance space was really an opportunity to take the Hudson Opera House, the historic City Hall, into a much bigger playing field. It's very, very important for the region to be able to attract as many, not only satisfy the constituents within the community and make sure that it's providing the kind of programming and opportunities that the community needs, But we also needed a name that was going to hearken to broader stretches of people throughout the environs, and ideally start to bring in new tourists, because Hudson, as I'm sure everybody knows, is starting to become a real gathering place.
Sure.
For people not just from the surrounding regions, but people are coming from far and wide now to Hudson because of all of the restaurants and shops and, frankly, world-class performances that people are beginning to be able to access there. So the problem with the name, even though people within the community did very much feel connected and nostalgic about the name, the Hudson Opera House, the fact of the matter is it's a barrier to newcomers not interested in opera. And it doesn't meet the programming expectations of those who are. So what Gary and his crew would see every day are people walking into the Hudson Opera House saying, "Oh, I'm a big fan of opera. You know, when is your next program?" And you know, conversely, people who might be interested in coming in to see the artwork, the dances, the chamber music, the TED Talks, don't think of a Hudson Opera House as being a place for those kinds of activities. So what we were looking for was something that felt genuine and true to the building, but also that had a bigger, broader sense of programming. And so we knew that the building used to be called City Hall, and so we liked the idea of keeping Hall in the name. And we also wanted to keep Hudson in the name as well. And so we toyed around with the name Hudson Hall. But then we had an idea in thinking about Henry Hudson, because Henry Hudson has always been, as we know, he's an explorer.
Right.
And his very being was about a sense of adventure, exploration, and discovery. And as we were looking at our new mission for the Hudson Opera House, aka Hudson Opera House, now Henry Hudson Hall, we thought, what better namesake to give this new building the very name of the founder of the town, who was in fact dedicated to a sense of exploration and adventure. And that's the very spirit that we want to imbue in all the people that come and see our programming. And once we landed on that name, we just felt like it perfectly met our mission and yet felt historically correct within the context of the building. And then we found out later that Henry Hudson was actually meant to be a permanent piece of the upstairs.
Yeah, if you look at the front of the building, there's a niche in the tympanum, or there was a niche in the tympanum that was originally intended to hold a statue of Henry Hudson. It's actually, you can still see it today, even though eventually they infilled it with brick. But if you look up at the very top of the building today, you can see the pattern where the niche is that was supposed to hold the statue of Henry Hudson. So in a way, when the name surfaced as a possibility, it seemed like we were kind of restoring the original intention for the building and its connection to Henry Hudson and discovery and exploration.
So when you look at the that idea of, because I like the, I mean, when you think about it, it's like you're naming it after your greatest benefactor, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Cool.
Yes.
So when you start off, of course you realize that it'll be a long time before people get out of their head the Hudson Opera House, right?
Right. I mean, we know that this isn't going to click overnight and people are going to magically every day remember that it has a new name. And in fact, it'll be interesting to sort of see how that evolves. But this felt at least that it had a kind of organic base, that it was coming from the history, that it was a good fit, and that it's something that people will get their arms around, we think, pretty easily.
And your job is to make that happen quicker.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And we've developed a beautiful new logo, which you'll begin to see on the banners out front. And people will definitely start becoming aware of the new name as quickly as possible, and through our social media and websites. But the logo is very much attempting to maintain a sense of tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It's very classic. It's not fancy. It's not meant to shock people, but at the same time, it does feel fresh and modern. And so I think it's a perfect bridge of again, everything that we've done here, which is really bridging the history with what we know is going to be a very exciting future for the building.
So we just have about 2 minutes left, but let's talk about that exciting future. So when do you start announcing all of the cool things that will be happening there?
In the next month, you'll see the whole program get rolled. Well, not the entire program, but many highlights for the opening season get rolled out. But a couple things that I want to share with you, in addition to the Proprietor's Ball on April 22nd, then there's a free community day on May 21st with the Bindlestiff Family Circus. We'll go right into concerts with Classics on Hudson's first season under the directorship of Eugenia Zuckerman, and that will be concerts with Brooklyn Ryder, with Tim Fain, a virtuosic violinist, Christopher O'Reilly, and Matt Haimovitz. This summer, the return of Lightfield, a fantastic exhibition of documentary and vernacular photography. Adam Weinert will be bringing his piece Monument, a dance piece that premiered at Jacob's Pillow last summer. And R.B. Schlather has been commissioned to direct a new production of The Mother of Us All, which is the Virgil Thompson Gertrude Stein opera about Susan B. Anthony. And Susan B. Anthony spoke from the Opera House stage twice in its history. So for the 100th anniversary of the women's right to vote in New York State, it seems the time is right to bring this opera back, and we're thrilled to be working with R.B. Schlather, a really brilliant director.
The 2017 season at Henry Hudson Hall Center for the Arts opens with the Proprietor's Ball on Saturday, April 22nd, followed by a community day on Sunday, May 21st, with free performances and workshops by Hudson's own Bindlestiff Family Circus. To learn more about all of the events, the two I mentioned, and all of the events that Gary mentioned as well, you can go to henryhudsonhall.org, henryhudsonhall.org. Gary and Megan, I thank you very much for being here. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Opening. Thank you. Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.